Hey everybody, welcome to the first episode of Shakespeare's Head, a Batman 66 podcast. I am one of your hosts, Logan.
And I'm your other host, Adam.
And we are going to be talking about Batman 66, the campiest thing, well, maybe not ever, but it's the only campy thing that I really love.
Yeah, no, I'm with you on that.
Camp has never been my, that style of humor just doesn't do a lot for me. But I guess maybe because when I was a kid, this was Batman and it was the only Batman that we had. So, not that I was alive when the show originally aired.
Yeah, we're not that old. We're definitely not that old.
We're about the same age, right? I'm 36.
Yeah, I'm 37.
Okay, yeah. I knew we were... I couldn't remember if you're a year older or you're younger.
Yeah, I'm a year
older. So we fall in that same demographic of... This was on probably... Like, what would have been on? Nick at Night, maybe?
I actually remembered it being on my, local syndicated affiliate.
Okay, first. Yeah.
First, it was, my local syndicated affiliate, every day, every single day at... 6 o'clock. No, 5 o'clock. It was the Batman hour, 5 to 6, and they showed 4 episodes. And then I think it went to Nick at Night, where they only showed 1 episode, which really upset me.
Yeah, I want to say I had a similar, it couldn't have been Nick at Night, because I remember my brother and I watched it after school.
Yeah.
So we would have gotten home around 3:30. So yeah, it would have been on at 4 or 5. And the station we watched it on, they would always air 2 episodes, but it was always part one of the two-parter and then another part one of another two-parter.
Yes, yes.
So then you would have to watch the next day to see the two-part twos.
But yes, that's the, well, that's the way it
was structured. Confusing.
Yeah, no, that's the way it was structured for me with the Batman Hour, which was they showed the first two, the first hour was the first parters. And then the second one, it was almost like they were doing Nolan structure before Nolan took over Batman. It was the same thing. It was really confusing for a kid of 7 or 8. I think it was around 7 or 8 when I first started seeing it. The reason why I remember that is because it was before the Burton Batman film came out. And it's still played up until the point where they did the Bruce Timm and Paul Dini Batman the Animated Series took over. And then, which was really sad to me, at that point, my local affiliates, syndicated affiliates, stopped showing it.
Yeah, there was this kind of move. And, not to jump into Star Wars, but... We've kind of seen a similar approach to Disney's Star Wars.
Yes.
Where they go, all right, well, people aren't so hot on the episode one does have its share of campiness to it. And so I understand that, where they go, we're going to move away from the prequel era and kind of pretend like it's not really part of what we're doing. And that kind of happened when... 89 Batman hit so big that people were especially Warner Brothers in DC was maybe not have this around so much, because we don't want people associating the two things.
It was almost like it was a black eye. It was something that they didn't want to embrace for what it was, which was at the time, I would talk to my dad about it, because I told him that I was going to be doing this podcast. And I think it's the only time, honestly, Logan, my dad doesn't listen to anything that I do. And I'm not offended by that. I mean, my dad's in his mid 60s. I mean, he's my father will be 66 this year. No, 65. Sorry, 65. But when I told him I was doing a Batman 66 TV show, podcast, he was his ears perked up, and he was really? And I'm yeah. He's well, let me know the link or how I need to download this thing, and I'll listen to it. It's the first time. And then we got to talking about Batman, and at the time for him in his generation, he remembers that Adam West was like, you know, he was a badass. Like, you know, he was Batman. I mean, you know, it was like that level of camp that was there. It was like, that was what like was acceptable to like everybody at the time.
Right. Right.
You know? And so like for him, it's like he always saw that was his Batman. And then so when the new stuff came out, it was like it took an adjustment for him. But then he never looked at it like his memory of Batman 66. And it's even my memory of Batman 66. Like I never like I loved it and he loved it, too. And we never kind of like I think like it's really sad that DC never gave or Marvel. Good Lord. Warner Brothers never gave the credit to fandom. That there was true affection for the show, even though it was, I guess, what some people would consider bad. But I don't know. It's like camp. I mean, like you said, like camp is something that's really hard to define because it's not, it's goofy. It's almost like it's a little goofy and a little silly, but it's still keeping within like telling a story and telling it in a good manner, I guess.
Yeah, and I'm kind of in the same boat. I think my dad is the one that got my brother and I watching Batman 66 because that was his Batman, you know. So
yeah.
it's really interesting how that kind of gets passed down. And you're absolutely right that so much to the point that like the show, the reason it's seeing like kind of this resurgence now is because Warner Brothers had to go to tremendous lengths to get all of these people to agree. Because what happened was the show, like different people owned different rights to the show. Like one company owned the television rights. Another person owned the music rights. Another person owned the rights for the likenesses of the Batmobile. So like none of this stuff could be licensed, like, and Warner Brothers didn't own like an umbrella like license for all of it because it was just like, well, nobody cares about this at the time. Like by the time it went off the air in 68, like between 68 and 89, like okay, the reruns did fine, but there was no thought of like, well, one day people will want to own this stuff. And then, you know, they spent literally the last 20 years trying to get all of these people to agree on some arrangement to bring this to, you know, to the public, basically.
Yeah.
That wasn't just like, oh, Aaron on a like a local syndicated network. You know, so it's really interesting and a rabbit hole you can fall down to if you just like go to Wikipedia and just look. I mean, that page is so full of stuff that, but yeah, it was like this whole thing between like the William Dozier estate and, is Nelson Riddle? I think there was the composer.
Yes.
I forget the guy's name that designed the Batmobile, but I think he still owned he still got a piece of whatever with the Batmobile. And it's just, but finally, what, almost 2 years ago now, like they started bringing it all together. I think the first thing we got was like action figures based on Batman 66.
Yes. And I have both of those. I have the Batman and the Robin.
And they're really good. They are really, really good.
Oh, and well, I showed them to my dad and he was like, those look like the figures that they were selling back when I was like, you know, a kid watching this.
Yeah. It's pretty incredible. And I want to say I think it was Conan O'Brien that broke the news on Twitter that Warner Brothers, it was in like January of 2014, so about a year and a half ago now.
Yeah.
That we would finally get video releases for the Batman series. You know, that they were, you know, creating like good versions, not the crap that you would buy on a con floor, which I own my share of, you know, I will, yes. I will, but you couldn't get them anywhere else, you know?
No.
So it's like, oh, we'll take these crappy versions that you recorded onto VHS and then transfer to DVD because I just want to watch the show and it's impossible.
Well, yeah, it's like there's certain shows that I saw as a kid that just like Batman 66 for a long time, it was impossible to find. Like my dad, like, and a lot of it was my dad telling me like these shows, like, you got to watch this, like Lone Ranger, Zorro. What other ones? The one that's coming out this year, I'm actually really excited about, Napoleon Solo. Oh, The Man from U.N.C.L.E.
Yeah.
Like, there are these shows that, like, were on either Disney or they were on local affiliates or they were on Nickelodeon that he was like, oh, you need to watch it. And of course, you know, I've always looked up to my father. So it's like, of course, your dad tells you to watch something, you're going to watch it. And it's like, to find this stuff now, it's like, you know, we live in an era where there's instant gratification for everything, but there's certain things that are still that I know that I've not, like, I'm not going to, like, I still haven't been able to find. And this is like, Batman is like the holy grail of those things. Like for the longest time, it was like, I just had VHS copies. I didn't even have DVDs.
Yeah. It really was. Holy grail is the right phrase because it's not like something that got produced that, like, okay, the Amazing Spider-Man live action TV show.
Yeah.
Which is pretty terrible.
Yeah.
Like, and you can find your, you know, if you look for it, you can find it. It's not something anybody is interested in putting out. Now, there are fanboys like me who would buy it if it was put out. I'd be like, well, that's really, like, I can't believe it ever existed. So, yeah, here's my $50 because I want to own it because, holy cow, it was bad and I can't believe it existed. But no, nobody has any interest in watching it, let alone distributing it. But Batman was not the case. You know, there was that 10-year period where people were like, where the company itself was like, maybe, no, let's not talk about this. But you kind of started seeing this resurgence towards the end of the Burton movie. I say Burton movies. He produced all four of them. But
yeah.
They kind of went back to the campier nature, even though it didn't work in the movies at all. But but it reminded people like, oh yeah, like, what about that? Like, you know. And then the popularity of home video, DVD, Blu-ray, you know, but you just couldn't get them. They were a holy grail. And so now, finally, we have them available in very good condition. I mean, the HD transfers are really good. So
I took a test drive of them, and wow, they are really pretty.
Yeah, and if you buy the complete series box set, you get some good little extras, and I'll provide a link to the Amazon page if anybody wants to pick it up and kind of watch along with us. But you know, it was 120 episodes of just campy fun, and that's what we're going to do. We're going to talk about every episode, and we're going to talk about the movie. We might throw this on you. I mean, we might just do a commentary track for the movie.
I would have no problems with that.
I love that movie.
It's probably been about like maybe 4 years. It was the first thing I saw. Like, this is the most hilarious thing. It's the first thing that I watched on Netflix when I got the streaming service for Netflix. Like, you know, I bit the bullet and went, okay, so I'm going to add this whole streaming thing onto my DVD thing. And, oh, what do you know? It has Batman 66. I haven't seen that. Is that the one with the bomb? He has the giant bomb run around on his head. I was like, okay, I got to see this. And it was the first thing that I watched on Netflix.
And that is Christopher Nolan's ultimate, like, joke to fandom, is that the end of his Dark Knight trilogy basically is the same way the beginning of the Batman 1966 movie starts out. Some days you just cannot get rid of a bomb.
And you know what? I almost think that it's his commentary on it. Like, to be honest with you, it really is his commentary on not wanting to do the last Batman movie, because I honestly think that he wanted to leave Dark Knight and that was it.
Yeah, I could see that. I really could see that. I don't think he was all there for the last movie, but that's a different Batman. We're talking Adam West, but the real Batman.
Yes.
The non-muscular Batman.
The Batman that is honestly a detective.
That's true. That is the one thing missing from not the animated version, but the live action versions of Batman since 1968 have basically dumped the detective part of the Dark Knight detective.
Exactly.
And it is one aspect of Batman that I love, and I think that's probably why I love the animated series so much. Because it does play into that. You know, it is this nice mixture of the Dark Knight with this kind of fun detective thing, you know?
Yeah, no, it absolutely is. And one of the things I love about both shows is that they both gave me an education on actors.
Yeah.
Because when we start talking, I think one of the aspects that we're going to be talking about are literally the legendary actors that are that make up the Rogues Gallery within Batman 66.
It's something as a kid that I could not appreciate because I did not know, I didn't know who Otto Preminger was.
I don't know
who Burgess Meredith. I'm like, Burgess Meredith, the guy that played the Penguin, and he was in the Rocky movie, right?
Exactly. You know,
I had no appreciation for Cesar Romero or Frank Gorshin.
Vincent Price. Vincent Price. This TV show was the first introduction to me to Vincent Price.
Yeah.
And Baxter, Cliff Robertson, Uncle Ben. the first and only Uncle Ben, Cliff Robertson, is in this show. Eli Wallach. I mean, there are these, yes, all these actors that are just like, and it's the same thing that is shared with the animated series, is that they have there's another podcast, I can't remember where it's going to be starting or if it's already started, but the animated series they're doing, I think it's Nerdist that's doing the animated series, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
That's one of those things where I look at it and go, I would love to do that.
Yep.
Jerks beat me to the punch, so it's kind of, once they start tackling something, it's kind of pointless. It's like, I could never do it as good as those guys, so why even try? Kind of like, I don't know if you've seen Kevin Smith and Matt Myra are doing Frasier commentary tracks.
Yes, I saw that.
And I love Frasier, and it's like, why didn't I think of that? Now I can't do it because I'll never be able to do it as good as those two can do it.
Well, I mean, there are a few people that could do, to be honest, I always thought that Smith should do something verbose like that. Like I could almost see Smith doing a reboot of Frasier, and I'd be totally okay with it.
Frasier with fart jokes. So
yeah, but I mean, you know, but
yeah, it's you know, you're right. Just the acting on this show was, and what's funny is, most of those people wanted to do the show because it was so popular with the younger crowd.
Yep.
You know, because most of the actors you see in the show were not past their prime, but of a different era. You know, they didn't get taken as seriously in the 60s. So this kind of put them back in favor, you know? Yep. And it's really funny because we'll end on this, because that's another thing. We want to try to keep the episodes relatively short. I think every episode of the show ran about 25 minutes.
Yep.
So as long as the episode, that's how we want. So the funny thing is how the show almost didn't happen and why the show ended. Okay. It was the worst thing they ever ran. Up until that time, they ran it in front of a test audience. It scored lower than anything the studio had ever done. And the only reason it made it to air was because, A, they were desperate for programming. They had nothing. And B, they spent so much money building the set that they had to at least produce one season to justify the cost of building the freaking Batcave.
That's so great.
But that wound up biting the show in the butt when it was canceled. It aired on ABC. It got canceled. The producers waited to see if anybody would pick it up. But when it was like a week went by and nobody had picked up the show, they kind of had feelers out. So 2 weeks later, they bulldozed the set. 2 weeks later, oh. NBC offered to pick it up, not knowing that the set had been dismantled. And once they found that out, they did not want to spend the money to rebuild it. Oh. So the Batcave got the show on the air. The Batcave lost the show.
Oh, you got to be kidding me.
Nope. The real depressing thing is that that set got bulldozed. I mean, it is one of the most iconic TV sets of all time. I mean, it's like finding out that, which you can't, you can go see reproductions, but be like, well, what did they do with the Enterprise set after the show was over? Well, I mean, they just tore it down.
Yeah.
And they repurposed things. That's what they did. And it's like, but they didn't know. They didn't know. They're like, well, we need the space. Or, you know, tear it down. We need the space. Throw all that crap away. Yeah, somebody somewhere has, like, the red phone, you know. It was in a dumpster, you know. It's kind of like the end of Firefly.
Yeah.
They were striking the sets and the actors and the crew were like, well, I'm taking this one thing for me, you know. It's, you know. So I want to know who has the phone. If it's not in the Smithsonian, I want to know where it is. If you know, tweet us. I am at Deadpool 1979, DEDPOOL1979. Where are you at on Twitter?
I am at Tyrufus underscore McCoy, TYRUFUS underscore MCCOY.
And check out everything on filmdispenser.com. I probably should have led with that. We are part of the Film Dispenser podcast network. I'm assuming we can officially call it a network now because
yes.
Holy crap, we do a lot of stuff.
Yes, we do. Yes, we do.
You co-host a Game of Thrones podcast as well as a True Detective podcast. I'm doing a Mr. Robot podcast. I co-host with
Loose
my brother.
Staples.
Loose Staples, the comic book podcast I do. The Orphan Black podcast I do. With a few other people.
Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.
Yeah, we do too much. Because we love too much. So we have to put that back out there. So, but our intention is to be here every week talking about Batman 66 and just have fun with the show. Because I can't believe we finally can just watch it all and not without the like the crummy VHS lines in the and not the syndicated versions either, the real versions of the show.
Yeah, the real unedited 25-minute episodes. It's like I haven't been this excited since I got my Briscoe County Blu-ray or my DVD. Not Blu-ray. I wish I had Blu-rays of that.
Yeah, I wish it was on Blu-ray.
But my DVDs of Briscoe County Jr. And, yeah, it's just like one of those things that I've been chomping. We've had these things for a while and I've been chomping at the bit to get to it, but I didn't want to start it until we officially started. So yeah, I'm super stoked for this.
So we'll be back, next week with, the first episode. Oh shoot. I know the name of it. Now my mind has completely gone blank.
Diddle Riddle.
Okay, yeah, it's the Riddler. Yes. So that's a good way to start, man. Gorshin's Riddler is so good.
He's so good. He's so good as the Riddler. I just love him.
So, yeah, we will be back next week to talk all about the Riddler. And we'll see you guys then. I guess same bat time, same bat channel. I guess we can repurpose that, right?
Oh, I repurpose it for my Game of Thrones and my True Detective podcast. So.
Oh, well, we're just staying with the tradition. So I will just let you say it. We'll see you guys next week.
Yep, same bat time, same bat channel.